Greetings to you in, out in the radio land, in the radio audience this evening. I have been much in prayer, as I'm sure we have been for Brother Sam and Brother Jamie, for this conference, that God will speak to us through His precious Word. And the Lord has been exercising my heart, especially in the light of the fact that this is what we call Whitsuntide, or we celebrate Pentecost, the coming of the Holy Spirit. And particularly, I've been exercised toward giving four messages during the time that I will be speaking. And my messages will be based from 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. As you're turning there, I'm sure if you read this passage, you will see that six times in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, the Apostle Paul says, "Do you not know?" Chapter 6, verse 2. "Do you not know that the saints will judge the world?" Now, he's talking about this in the light of the fact that Christians at Corinth were taking each other to court over matters that should have been settled by the church. Then he says in verse 3, "Do you not know that we will judge angels?" What a tremendous challenge that should be. We will judge angels. The third "do you not know" is found in verse 9. "Do you not know that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived," he says. "Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God." Oh, I like verse 11. "And such were some of you. But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God." I'm not preaching from this whole text tonight. I just want you to get a grip to what Paul is saying. Six times he says, "Do you not know?" In verse 15, "Do you not know that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I take the members of Christ and make them the members of a harlot? God forbid, certainly not." Then he says in verse 16, he says, "Do you not know that those who are bound to a harlot is one body with her? For the two," he says, "shall become one flesh." Now we look at the last "do you not know," and this is what we're going to be focusing on over the next few days during the times that I will be speaking. "Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." I know the Lord will bless and has blessed and will bless His Word. Father, in the quietness of this hour, we pray that You'll speak to our hearts through Thy precious Word. And may the Holy Spirit, the One who inspired this precious book, may He tonight bring conviction upon our hearts in areas where it's needed. And may He reveal the things of Christ to us, we pray, in the Savior's precious name. Amen. During the next few days, we'll be looking, first of all, at that very first section of chapter 6, verse 19. And I have it under the heading, "A Glorious Privilege." In the next session, we'll be looking at a second thing, a sobering reality: you are not your own. Next session on Sunday evening, "For you are bought with a price, a costly transaction." And then, God willing, the last one, we'll be thinking about a personal responsibility. "Therefore, glorify God in your body, in your spirit, which are God's." A glorious privilege. I think that this, perhaps, is something that has been lost in the modern preaching, in biblical circles, in the Christian faith. We've somehow lost the tremendous truth, what Paul is saying here, that our body, your body as a believer, my body, is the sanctuary, is the temple of the Holy Spirit. You see, we often use the term, "We're going to church." And we look at the building as the church. That is not really what is happening. Actually, literally, the church comes together. A building is only a building. You see, the church is not a building of stone, of wood, etc., but is made up of living stones, those who have been saved by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But we've lost, I believe, the truth that the Holy Spirit does not dwell in buildings of wood or stone, but that He actually dwells, He resides, His residence is within you and me who know the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. You remember in John chapter 2, when they questioned the Lord Jesus Christ, He said, destroy this temple. I will destroy this temple. He was talking about His body and raise it up the third day. And so when He uses the word temple, He's talking about His body. And that is what Paul is saying here. In the light of all that he said previously, and the fact that there are people who were like those in verses 9 and 10. But he says, you are washed, you are sanctified, you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So he says, remember this, that my body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. The Lord Jesus, very clearly in John chapter 14, verses 16 and 17, verse 26, chapter 15, verse 26. Chapter 16, verses 7 through 15, made a very clear declaration and the promise of the Holy Spirit's coming. He called Him another comforter, another helper, one like unto myself. And the Lord Jesus Christ in those verses, the word is used, the Parakletos, He is the Holy Spirit, He is another, one like unto myself, not one inferior to me, one just like me. He is coming to represent me as the Lord Jesus came to represent the Godhead, the Holy Spirit during the era of the church is the Lord Jesus Christ representative upon earth. And He indwells every believer in this congregation and listening in the radio audience. My body is the sanctuary, the word, the naos, the sanctuary of the Holy Spirit. What a glorious privilege. What a tremendous responsibility. The Lord Jesus Christ referred to the Holy Spirit as the Spirit of truth. And I've been reading in the book of Acts in my devotions. And it's interesting that the very first sin that God judged openly and publicly was the sin of lying and deception. When Ananias and Sapphira dropped down dead because they lied to the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. The Lord Jesus also referred to Himself as the way, the truth, and the life. And in His high priestly prayer, He said these words. He said, Father, sanctify them through Thy word. Thy word is truth. You and I should live a life of truth for the glory of God. The Lord Jesus said the Holy Spirit would not only be with you, but He will be in you. He resides within you and I. Then the Lord Jesus referred to Him as He said He would teach you. I'm so glad for the teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit in my life and in your life. He is the one who teaches us. The Lord Jesus said also He will bring all things to your remembrance, whatever I have spoken unto you. Then the Lord Jesus Christ also said He will not glorify Himself. He will glorify me. So the Holy Spirit, let me tell you something, friends. He is not an influence, as some people teach. He is God. The Holy Spirit is called the Eternal Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one who is grieved, so He has feelings. The Holy Spirit, as Peter said, you've not lied unto men, you've lied unto God when you lied to the Holy Spirit. He is the one who wills. He is the one who searches the deep things of God. Let us understand that the Holy Spirit is a person. I've heard preachers often refer to Him as it. I refer to this microphone as it, this pulpit as it. But I would not refer to any of you as it. I would call you by name or say he or she or you. The Holy Spirit is a person. And the glorious privilege is this, that He
indwelled. You and me. My body, your body, is his temple, is his sanctuary. The Lord Jesus said in Acts 1 and 8, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And I'm so glad for the indwelling person of the Holy Spirit who empowers me and energizes me to live the Christian life. His residence. But now you and I have a responsibility. We have a responsibility. My body, my brother, my sister, your body is the temple of God. In the Old Testament, the Jews would come first of all to the tabernacle and later on to the temple that was built on Mount Moriah. And it was there that God met with his earthly people. But since Pentecost, the Lord Jesus said, I will build my church. The church was born at Pentecost. And he also fulfilled the promise of sending the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. Now the Holy Spirit indwells in individual believers. And also he is here in this congregation, presiding over this congregation tonight. But what a glorious privilege. My brother, my sister, let this truth get a hold of you afresh, that you are a temple of God. I am a temple of God. Now, just as in the Old Testament, the temple sometimes became desecrated, so it is that you and I can desecrate the temple of the Holy Spirit. Now, you'll notice one of the emphases of Paul here. Of course, there was the people falling out with one another and going to court. Paul says, listen, you should settle that among yourselves. Do you realize that you're going out to people, ungodly people, who one day you will sit in judgment with the Lord Jesus upon? One day you will judge angels, fallen angels. Why do you do this? And then, of course, in that section, he talks about immorality. And it's simply amazing to know that we're not living in just in a world of immorality, but in the church there is immorality. That's why Paul says, you don't take your body and join to a harlot. Because what you're doing is you're desecrating the temple of the Holy Spirit. And wherever you turn, you see, we have been programmed by the world to accept these things as normal. God says they're not normal. The sanctity of marriage is something that is looked down upon, that is thought to be obsolete. Well, I want to tell you something, friends. God is not obsolete, nor is his word obsolete. God says very clearly in his word. Paul said in verse 18, flee sexual immorality. My body can be desecrated by immorality. Paul said to Timothy, flee youthful lust. And pursue righteousness, faith, and peace with those who call on the name from a pure heart. The writer to the Hebrews has a very important verse in Hebrews 13:4. He says, marriage is honorable and all, and the bed undefiled, but fornicators and adulterers, God will judge. I want you, my friend, to take time and read verses 9 and 10 again. As we've looked at it or just mentioned it earlier. What about indulgence in other things? Paul talks about there. Now I'm going to, you say, Brother David, you're going to meddle it now. But listen, he talks about overeating and not keeping the body fit. Listen, my body is the temple of God. I need to keep this body fit. I need to keep it pure. Not just by these other things. But he says, you know, he talks about food and meat. And he talks about these things. Paul spoke about those in Philippians 3 whose God is their belly. Listen, my brother, my sister. My body, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Our motto should be that of what Paul said to the Corinthians. Whether therefore you eat or you drink, or whatever you do, do what? All. glory of God. And so we need to ask ourselves, as we understand afresh that my body is the temple of God, am I glorifying God in this body? By what I say, by what I do, by my actions, am I glorifying God? Needless to say, there are medically proven subjects, or rather substances, which naturally bring harm to the body. And yet, there are professing Christians who abuse alcohol, and tobacco, and drugs, even sometimes prescription drugs. My body is the temple of God. I need to keep this temple from being defiled. What about our minds? Oh, we can't listen. The eye gate and the ear gate. Why is it they have to sell a car with a half-naked woman nearby it or on sitting on top of it? Why do they do that? You see, it's to get people, men, to go out and get that car. Why is it that our children are so influenced by what they see, the garbage that is put on television, the video game? Let me tell you something. What goes in is going to come out. What goes in is going to come out. Paul said to the Ephesians in chapter 5, to the church at Ephesus in chapter 5, in verse 4, he says, neither filthiness nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. In verse 7, he talks about those who are committing sins. He says, do not be partakers of them. In verse 11 and 12, he says, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them, expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. The mind. Oh, God, help us to understand that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And hear what Paul said to the church at Philippi. Whatever things are true, whatever things are pure, lovely, noble, whatever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, and so on, think on these things. But the temple can also be defiled. Not only desecrated, but defiled. And in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30, Paul says, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit, whereby you are sealed for the day or until the day of redemption. And then he goes on before that, and I'm just going to mention these briefly. In verse 25, he says, speak the truth, don't lie. You know, lying has become very, very popular. They're lying, or people are lying, and you know, sometimes they don't even realize that they're telling a lie. And sometimes, you know, somebody's upset with us, and you say, well, what is wrong? Nothing. They just lie. Christian, we never stop to think of this. Do you know what I'm doing? Do you know what's happening? I am grieving the Holy Spirit. I am defiling the temple of the Spirit by lying. Unacceptable lying. What about unrestrained anger? Verses 26 and 27, he says, be ye angry and sin not. Do not let the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. I want to ask you tonight, my brother, my sister, are you holding in anger against somebody, and you've let that fester in your being, in your soul? Do you know what we're doing when we do that? When we do not speak, as Paul said earlier in Ephesians, speak the truth in love. When we do that, we are grieving, we are defiling this body that is the sanctuary of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. Holding anger. I've had people say, I've been angry with that person for years. Oh, friend, listen. What about
unethical work attitude. Verse 28, let him that stole do not steal anymore. Let him work with his hands. One of the problems in the Bahamas is that too many people want to work or get paid for work they do not do. That's stealing. Christians do that. Listen, I am defiling the temple of the Holy Spirit when I do that. Our desire should be what Paul said in Ephesians 6, verses 6 and 7. He says, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Doing the will of God from the heart. And not unto men. For you serve the Lord Christ. Am I defiling the temple of the Holy Spirit? What about my unguarded tongue? You see, we fail to realize, I believe sometimes, when we let loose with a barrage of words, angry words, harsh words, bitter words, against somebody else, that those words are coming out, not controlled by the Holy Spirit, but controlled by the flesh. When I do that, I am grieving the Holy Spirit. In verse 29, he says, let no corrupt speech proceed out of your mouth. But what is good for necessary edification, that you may minister grace or impart grace to the hearers? Have I grieved the Holy Spirit and defiled the temple of the Holy Spirit by something that I said to somebody else, and particularly a brother or sister, that I've never gone and apologized for? The Holy Spirit grieved. The temple is defiled. Oh, beloved, let this grip our souls. That this is what is going on. And the devil sits down and laughs with glee as he sees the church. That the Lord Jesus Christ said, I will build my church. And he sees it stagnant and stale. And he sees it with no power because we fail to realize that our bodies are the temples of the Holy Spirit and he indwells us. James says, do not speak evil of one another, brethren. He that speaks evil of his brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the law. Paul, or rather Peter, exhorts, therefore, putting away all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire or crave the pure milk of the word that you may be able to grow thereby. Am I defiling the temple of the Holy Spirit by any of these things? What a challenge. God has been dealing with my own heart, beloved. As I have been praying over these messages, and as our brethren will come with the messages God has laid upon their hearts, let me tell you something. Brother Frank said at the very outset, and he prayed and asked, you know, that this will not just be another conference, but that we will deal with these issues in our lives. And that we will remember who we are and what we are. We've been washed. We have been sanctified. We have been justified. God help us to live like the people of God. May our desire be what Paul said to the Colossian Christians. He said, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt. Interesting, isn't it? Seasoned with salt. Let your grace. You know, I have to ask myself, is my speech with my brothers and sisters or members of my family always with grace? Sometimes is it with an edge, with a little annoyance, or maybe a harsh word. What a challenge. Let your speech be always with grace, Colossians 4:6. Seasoned with salt. Do you know what salt does? It creates thirst. It preserves. It cleanses. May my speech be that which will create thirst for Jesus Christ. Cleanse. Have a
have a preserving effect. He says that you may know how you ought to answer everyone. May we pray the prayer that we have in Psalm 19, verse 14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. But what about unholy bitterness and malice? In Ephesians 4:31, Paul says, he says in verse 30, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, my brother, my sister, are you holding bitterness in against something or someone that should have been dealt with a long time ago? Malice, ill will, these things grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Bitterness includes jealousy, resentment, animosity, which leads people to seek revenge. And set out to hurt someone. My body, your body, is the temple of God. God, the Holy Spirit. Am I defiling and desecrating the temple? What about unrestrained criticism? He says, all evil speaking be put away with all malice, slander, gossip. Am I guilty of any of the sins that Paul has mentioned here? If I am, then I am defiling the temple of the Spirit. Oh, that we might heed the words of Paul in verse 32. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. How am I to forgive? Even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. How many times somebody says, I will forgive you if God doesn't put any qualification. He says, you come, I will forgive you. He'll forgive us for Christ's sake. And that's what he's done. And on the same basis, I am to forgive those who trespass against me or do something. Peter said to the Lord, how many times shall I forgive till seven? The religious leaders thought four, three, maybe four. Peter's going to be generous. Seven times? He says, no, till 70 times seven. In other words, stop counting. There's another verse in 1 Thessalonians 5:19. It says, do not quench the Spirit. Another translation is, do not put out the Spirit's fire. It may be a paraphrase. How can I quench the Spirit? How can I put out his fire? How can I stifle his work in my life? Are some of the things that were mentioned there? I can stifle by and hinder him by things that I wanted done my way or the highway. I can do it by wanting to impose upon others my will, instead of what God's will might be and should be and what his word says. And so we can desecrate and we can defile the temple. Disunity among God's people puts out the Spirit's fire. Undealt with and unconfessed sin will quench the Spirit in our lives. Unresolved problems will quench, will put out the Spirit's fire. Do you not know that your body is the temple, the sanctuary of the Holy Spirit? I wonder how many of us have stopped today. When we got up this morning, we need to practice that and say, oh Lord, here is my body. I have the wonderful, the glorious privilege that God in the person of the Holy Spirit is indwelling me. You know something? Wherever I go, the Holy Spirit goes. Whatever I do, whatever I say, the Holy Spirit is right there. Some Bahamians have this expression, I'm going to put my Christianity down and pick, you know, and go fight, whatever it is. You can't do that. Because the Lord Jesus Christ said he will be with you, he will be in you, and he will abide with you forever. Now, if I have been defiling the temple, if I have been desecrating the temple, what are the requirements? You see, the residency, the responsibility, the requirements. Number one, I need to confess and forsake whatever it is, whatever sin it is. I need to name it a sin. Whatever it is. It may not be any of these things. It may be something else. But whatever it is, listen, the Bible says, whoso confesseth and forsaketh his sin shall obtain mercy. Oh, I love 1 John 1:9. If we what? Confess our sins. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What a wonderful promise. My brother, my sister, tonight, if God has been speaking to your heart as he's been speaking to mine, and I fail to realize that my body is the temple, and I've been doing things, and I've been defiling and desecrating this temple, let me tell you something. Claim the promise of 1 John 1:9. Confess it. Ask the Lord's forgiveness, and he says, he will forgive. The psalmist says in the 103rd Psalm, he will have mercy. He will abundantly pardon. And then afresh, say to the Lord, Romans 12, 1 and 2. Paul says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present, yield your body, living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your intelligent worship, your reasonable service, your intelligent worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable, perfect will of God. Thirdly, I should surrender my life to the control of the Holy Spirit. That's what Paul is saying in Ephesians 5:18. He says, do not be drunk with wine wherein is excess or debauchery, but be ye being filled with the Spirit. It's an ongoing process. What does it mean to be filled with the Spirit? It means to come under to let the Spirit have complete control in my life. To yield to Him. Some people think the Spirit-filled life is the abnormal Christian life. No, that should be the normal Christian life. Yield to Him. Yield to His filling. And then fourthly, allow Him to begin to produce in your life. Galatians 5, 22-23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering or patience, gentleness, goodness, meekness, faithfulness, temperance or self-control. The ninefold fruit of the Spirit, you know what those? You know what they are? They are the characteristics of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit will begin to work in my life. As I recognize that my body is His temple, a glorious privilege, but an awesome responsibility. And so Paul says that final of the six, do you not know? He says, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God? As we leave here tonight, let's remember, as we awaken in the morning, God's will, let's just say, remember, my body is the temple of God. My body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. What a glorious privilege. Christian, the Apostle Paul gives his exhortation. Walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Live by the Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit, who indwells us, have full control in our lives, in our ministry, whatever we do. We will glorify God. Let us pray. I want us to take just a couple of moments of quiet prayer, meditation. God has been speaking to my heart and to our hearts this evening. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Now let's be honest with ourselves. There are a number of very key things that the Spirit of God has been bringing to our attention tonight. And maybe we have been defiling and desecrating this temple. Quietly in your heart, as we quietly pray for a few moments, just confess whatever it is and ask the Lord to forgive you. And just ask Him to have full control. Surrender your body to Him. And say, Lord, here is my body. I yield it to you. And I yield to the control of the Holy Spirit. Be glorified in me. And may He produce in me those wonderful fruit of the Spirit, the characteristics of our my blessed Lord. Pray quietly for a few moments, and then we'll pray, and then we're going to sing a closing hymn.